deeper look in the book. This broadcast is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where the pastor is Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will bring in a series of messages from the book of Exodus. So get close to your radio and listen now as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. takes a deeper look in the book.
Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.
The second book of the Bible. And what is the second book of the Bible? The book of Exodus. And what is the theme? What is this book about? Do you know what this book is about? It's about it's about getting out of the world. It's about getting out of Egypt. It is a book of redemption. How you can't get out of Egypt. They couldn't get out of Egypt by themselves. How was they able to get out of Egypt? By a mighty hand of God. In the same way, you can't get out of this world of sin by yourself. A lot of times you hear people saying, you know, well, I'm gonna get on out of the world. I'm gonna quit drinking. I'm gonna quit this and quit that and quit. You can't quit unless the Lord help you to quit. You can't get away from the bondage of sin. The only way you can get away from sin is you got to have the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save you from sin. Amen? Amen. So that's what this book of Exodus is about. The last time we met, we looked at the Ten Commandments. Today, I want to go a little bit step further, and we want to look at chapter 21, chapter 22, and chapter 23. And what we're looking at here, we're looking at the civil law of Almighty God, the civil law of Almighty God. And you'll see in this civil law of Almighty God, there are a varieties of laws that God governs his people. How many of you know that there is no area of your life that comes unregulated by God? How many of you know that? That every area of your life, God tells you what to do in that area. There's no area in your life that you can say, okay, God, you over there and I'm over here, and I think I know what's best, how I want to do things. See, most people have a Sunday religion. Not you at Bible Way, but you know them folks that you know. A lot of folks have a Sunday religion. They just, they look at church just like you look at a funeral. When you go to a funeral, you go there to show your respect for the dead. That's basically what you do. You go to show your respect for the dead. Not so much for the living. You go to show your respect for the dead. And then you go back and live however you want to live, because you done showed your respect for the dead. And that's how people do a lot of times when it comes to a Sunday religion. They come to worship God and show their respect that we still believe in you. We still believe in you. But they leave here and live like they want to live. Like I say again, not you at Bible Way, just the folks that you know. Amen. All right, so we'll see tonight that God governs every area of your life. The first area that God deals with in this civil law is how you treat your servants, caring for servants. Now, I think this is very good because in this area here, servants must be treated fairly. See, a lot of people, they talk about, you know, well, the Bible never speaks against slavery and what have you. Well, the Bible tells you how you ought to treat a servant. The Bible, and we're going to see later on tonight, the Bible knows nothing about you abusing your servant like they used to abuse the servant. Y'all watch the movie Kento Kente, Roots, and what have you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glad we got some Roots fans up in here. All right. All right. And so notice here in chapter 21, I'm going to just kind of read and highlight some of the things. We're not going to read every verse in these chapters. I'll just be highlighting some things to you. Notice what he says here, here in verse number 2. He said, if thou buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he may serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he was married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she has bore him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, my children, and I will not go out free, then the master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door of the doorpost, and the master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Now, this is what is called a bond servant. A person could serve for 6 years, and on the seventh year they could go free. As a matter of fact, you're going to find, as you read even through the this civil law, that God is going to even release them from even debts. A debt could not be any longer than 6 years in the Bible. After 6 years, you had to release that person of that debt in the seventh year. And then even when a person did want to be bond servants and things like that, on the year of Jubilee, if your family or something had become slaves and things like that, every 50 years, everybody could be free. All right, and so that was kind of showing at least once in a lifetime, God was giving every man an opportunity to taste some freedom. All right, but in this text right here, we see where the holes in the ear come from. When a man started putting holes in his ear, that showed that he was a bond servant. Oh, y'all looking at me this evening. See, I know what y'all are saying, but that's just a style. That's just a style. Well, I'm just showing you out of the Bible, a guy never put a hole in his ear until he was going to be a slave to that particular master forever. I'm bagging on up. I'm bagging on up. Amen. I'm gonna let y'all take it from here, all right? Amen. I done gave you enough information of just what the Bible says. See, there was ways that a person should be able to identify a person just by the way you look. And so that was an identification mark. Yeah, we're gonna even show that as we go through the teachings of Moses, we're going to see that even tattoos and all of that was identification marks that you was tied to the world, or you was tied to some heathen religion. We're going to talk about that later on. Amen. Amen. So y'all can relax right now. You know, those of you that got some tattoos, you know, y'all can relax a little bit. Right now, we're gonna show you where that said in the Bible. Amen. But just right now, God wanted them to be able to recognize who was who just by the way that they look. All right. And so often when I talk to people and they try to justify slavery, I say, now, even in the Bible talks about how servants had to be treated fairly. You just couldn't treat them just any kind of way. As we go a little bit further, so up under the first 11 verses, we're dealing with caring for servants. And then from verses 12 through 26, we deal with compensation for personal injuries. Compensation for personal injury. I know y'all thought that compensation just came about in the 20th century when we got lawyers and all of that. No. When they came out of the land of Egypt, God gave them laws that dealt with compensation for personal injury. It was, y'all done heard of the law of the eye for the eye and the tooth for the tooth. What God was doing with the eye for the eye and the tooth for the tooth, so most of us look at that as kind of revengeful and stuff like that. No, what God was doing, God was setting a standard of how you should deal with a person when they have injured you. In other words, if a person knocked your tooth out, then you couldn't take their house. I won't take your house because you knocked my tooth. Now God said, no, the only thing you could do is go pop him in the mouth. and you can hit him hard enough to knock his tooth out. Yeah. Because see, when people know that they got an upper hand on you, sometimes they take advantage. And so God, he came up with the eye for the eye, the tooth for the tooth, to keep a person from going to the point of injustice when they was dealing with these personal injuries. Let's just take a look at a few of these. There was a law. Some capital punishment. The death penalty took place for some of these crimes, such as one was murder. Look at verse number 12. He that smit a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. So if you kill a man, then you need to be killed. You see? And do you see the just standard? It's the just crime, the just time for the crime. Look, he says, and if a man lied not in wait, but God delivered him into his hands, then I will appoint thee a place to which he shall flee. Now, if it was an accident, God says, I'm going to set up a place where he can run to, a city of refuge. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guilt, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. If a person premeditated and killed somebody. So God is making a distinction between manslaughter, an accident murder, and from a premeditated murder. Accidental murder, an accidental killing, that was some mercy. But if there was premeditated, then that person, death penalty. Look at verse number 16. And he that steals a man and sell him, or if he found in his land hand, he shall surely be put to death. Oh, I make a lot of people mad when I show them that verse there. I say, y'all think slavery like we had in America, y'all think that was justifiable by the Bible? What about this verse right here? The Bible says kidnapping. There weren't no volunteers getting on that ship coming over here. That was the biggest, I mean, it went on for centuries, went on from the 1400, 1500, 1600, went on for 300, 400 years, kidnapping. Amen. And so God said that if anybody's supposed to have gotten whipped and killed, it should have been Kuta Kinte Master for kidnapping him. Hello, somebody. Because Kuta Kinte didn't even want his name to be changed. He didn't want to say Toby. Hello, somebody. Amen. Amen. Did you know if you even curse your mama, hit your mama or daddy, that was a death penalty? Look at verse 15. He that smite his father or his mother shall surely. Look what the Bible says. Surely. And he says, surely. God is serious as a heart attack. He said, don't let him live. Now, what if we was doing this today? Do you think we'll have so much crazy and foolishness going on? Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. People, see, you know what the problem is today? People don't fear God. There's just no fear of nobody in the house. They don't, you know, it used to be the time you could say, boy, I'm going to tell your dad on you. And you would say, oh, no, Mr. Ralph, don't tell daddy. I'm gonna clean this up. I'm gonna get it together. You know, don't tell daddy. Don't tell daddy. But today, folks, well, tell my daddy. Tell him. You can tell him. First, you got to find him. But because I'm my own man. I do what I want to do. See, this is the generation we living in today, where the hoodlums are running things. If you even injured a lady that was pregnant, if something happened to that baby, then you had to die. If the baby died, then you die. Look here at verse number, let me find that. Look at verse 22 and 23. If men are scribing, if two men are tussling and hurt a woman with child, a lady that's pregnant, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall surely be punished. According to the woman's husband, will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follows, then thou shalt give life for life. Amen. So if two men are tussling, they're fighting, and the lady try to get in and break it up, and one of the men hit the lady in the stomach, and the baby come out cockeyed, then you need to go and hit that man in the eye and cock out him. Yeah. Now, if the baby die, then the man got to die. Now, look. Right here at this text, verse 23. This is a case for pro-life. You know, you done heard of the pro-life movement and the abortion movement, you know, pro-life and pro-choice. See, both of them try to be pro. Pro-life and pro-choice. But the pro-choice ain't really a pro-choice because it ain't giving the baby a choice. Because if you really was into pro-choice, you'll give everybody a choice, whether they are outside the womb or in the womb. Amen. Amen. And so you see here, God says if that baby die, then you need to die. Why is that? Because God says a life for life. So God look at the fetus as being a person. A person. Hello, somebody. So hopefully you got some ammunition there to work with. All right, so we see compensation for personal injuries, and then we see protection for personal property in chapter 22, verses 1 through 15. The first 15 verses shows you how owners were responsible for even the animal action. The owners was responsible for even the animal's action. Look here at chapter 22. Look here, let's just look at verse number 5. If a man shall cause a field or vineyard to be eaten, and shall put in his beast, and shall feed in another man's field, of the best of his own field, and of the best of his own vineyard, shall he make restitution. So if your cow get out and eat in somebody else's field, and eat up, you know, the best of their wheat or something, then you're going to have to pay restitution for that. If that cow done ate up the best of the neighbor's field, then you could easily say, you know, people say, well, that's that cow. I didn't touch. Yeah, but that was your cow. And so you need to pay for that. And it goes on further and talks about even more restitution. If fire break out and catch the thorns so that the stacks of grains or standing grains of the field are consumed thereof, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. So let's say you burning your trash, but your fire get out and burn up somebody's field, then you got to pay for that field. That's restitution. You got to pay some restitution. See, today we just want to say, well, I'm sorry. And then we want the other person to say, well, I understand. But anytime forgiveness came, that was restitution that followed forgiveness. Today we just want to say, you know, forgive me and walk away and say, bye-bye, see you at church on Sunday. Uh-uh. Forgiveness always had a price to pay. Restitution is always involved in forgiveness. Amen. And see, that's one reason that it's hard for people to forgive another person, because that person has caused a property loss sometime, and we want that person to say, okay, I understand, you forgiven. But that person now is $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 in the hole. No, we need to put a value on that. How much did my foolishness cost you? Yeah. How much is going to cost me to truly be forgiven? And see, once, let's say I wrecked somebody's car. And I say, okay, I'm going to get it fixed. I get it fixed. Let's say the car costs $3,000. I fixed the car, $3,000. You feel pretty good about me, don't you? Yeah. He said he was going to take care of it. He a man of his word. But let's say I wreck your car, and I say, go get an estimate. And then you come back with the estimate, $3,000. Say, what is I'm gonna do with that? I ain't got no $3,000. You see what I'm saying? Now you done left that person hanging. And then now we wondering, I thought you was a Christian. You're supposed to forgive somebody.
Bread of life. That person sent down from glory.
If you would like a copy of the Bible study that you have just heard in its entirety, please contact the church at 972-257-3766. Again, that is 972-257-3766. Or you can visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. Again, that is BibleWayIrving.org. And come out and visit us on a Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock, where you can hear Dr. Wilbur go in depth into his Bible studies. Again, that is at 7 o'clock at 4215 North Greenview Drive in Irving, Texas. And always remember, bring a paper and a pen, because we are going to take a deeper look in the book.